This year's wearable arts entries had many themes, from ecocentric climate awareness to the joys of Juno to shrimp cocktails. Kachgun Rochelle Smallwood's piece stood out. That's Wearable Arts MC Richard Carter introducing the piece. Titled Yahin Awe Ya Kusti, it towered over the audience, standing more than 10 feet tall on the model Magdalena Kahlo. The title of Kachgun's piece, its description, and the music behind it are all in Tlingit. Her piece made an impression on the audience. Every year during Wearable Arts, professional judges come in and weigh each piece in its presentation. Then they pick their favorites. And Kachgun's piece got left out of that process. The Juno Arts and Humanities Council management, which puts on the show, says this was because of miscommunication and a time crunch. They made assumptions about whether Kachgun wanted her piece to be judged. The model who wore the piece, Kahlo, as well as other artists and models at the event, complained of racism and exclusion backstage. These complaints worked their way up the chain to Nancy DeCherney, the Juno Arts and Humanities Council's executive director. The council apologized for the miscommunication, and its board members say they held two meetings to discuss those complaints. During those discussions, Juno Arts Council staff determined that there wasn't racism involved in the decision to exclude Kachgun's piece from the judging process. But the model Kahlo disagrees.
And then for them to just be like, no, it wasn't racist, is like, it's just kind of like, okay, well, you don't get to decide that.
Kahlo says her experience during the weekend of Wearable Arts included microaggressions from other competitors and uncomfortable reactions to their piece being entirely in Tlingit. Kachgun wasn't able to attend the event in person, but Kahlo says that when she told event staff the piece would be entirely in Tlingit,
I like laughed about it, like to my face.
The council's board president, Abel Ryan, who is Tsimshian, says the council was initially hesitant about the piece being in Tlingit. DeCherney said that this opened up larger conversations about the Tlingit language here in Juno.
The message that is there, because it was entirely in Tlingit, to Tlingit speakers is one message, but to those of us who haven't learned to speak Tlingit and we've lived here forever, that's another message that we should hear.
This is part of Kachgun's goal with the piece. To her, it was essential that none of the Tlingit she used for the piece be translated into English.
Also, Native artists don't have to explain their art or their indigeneity for people. We don't have to digest it for them. And I feel like a lot of times we're asked to like perform Native for consumption, and that we're expected to act a certain way and explain it a certain way. And I'm hoping to help change that narrative, and I'm also hoping to normalize getting the language back on the land.
But as Tlingit language revitalization efforts grow, language professor Hune Lance Twitchell says that the question, to translate or not to translate, is coming up more often. Translating Tlingit to English puts the burden on Tlingit speakers.
And, you know, maybe if you're not connected to someone in the language learning community, maybe it's time that you make that connection, that way you have someone you can ask, or hopefully it sparks some curiosity to just learn a few things.
He also says it's important to consider our expectations for art to be made for English speakers. That expectation can impact people whose languages have been violently suppressed.
And I understand that some people want to know, and they feel excluded if they don't know. But then, hopefully, there's got to be ways, I think, for the communities to also sort of say, hey, this not everything has to be for everybody. But at the same time, it does get complicated at times because some people, I mean, we're dealing with languages that were specifically prohibited by an English-speaking population. And so there is just a weird dynamic when we say, hey, you need to translate this for the English-speaking population, that also came here and has nearly killed your language.
Ernestine Hayes, longtime Kagwantan community member, author, and poet, says she wasn't surprised to hear about Kachgoon's experience trying to make art in Juneau and display it during wearable arts. She says this is common for Indigenous artists and Tlingit people. They have to change everything about themselves to be considered acceptable or qualified.
We're all taught to see everything through a white lens. And removing ourselves from that takes dedication and constant attention. But it's difficult to remain aware because that white lens keeps pulling us back.
She brought up an incident from 2018 when a Japanese geisha-inspired costume at Wearable Arts prompted complaints about cultural appropriation and was later pulled from the lineup. Hayes says art is meant to challenge your perspective, to help you grow.
You know, you can do some research on art. If we see a painting that we don't understand or by an artist that we're not familiar with, we don't dismiss it and reject it immediately. We do some research. We talk to people. We ask questions, and then we appreciate it even more.
Going forward, the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council management says they're considering removing the judging process from wearable arts. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry.